And then we pray to the Guru. We can use the prayers calling the Lama from afar. We can use prayers to Guru Rinpoche. Why is it that we should pray to the Guru? Because our Guru is the essence of all the Buddhas of the past, present and future. This is our root Guru that gives us blessings, empowerments, transmits pith instructions, gives us teachings, provides us with all these profound pith instructions to enable us to attain enlightenment. This is our benevolent Guru. What is it that the root Guru helps us with is to remember to return to our true nature of mind. And the Vajra Guru is the one that helps us to realize the true nature of mind through guidance. Maybe we realize it within a few days, within a few years, within a few decades, within this lifetime. The root Guru is the one that helps us transform this ignorant, confused, lost mind through step-by-step pith instructions so that we realize the inseparability of compassion and wisdom. I spent a lot of time by the side of His Holiness Lama Atuk Rinpoche. I was by his side night and day for nearly 15 years, and I teach these pith instructions that I learned from him. However, when I teach them, do you hear them? Do you understand them clearly? And if you do, then in my teachings, really, there are many instructions that will help us to return to our true nature of mind, recognize our true nature of mind, help us at the time of death. But the instructions that will help us realize the true nature of mind, recognize it during the day, and instructions that will help us to practice the luminosity of dreams at night. And through recognizing our dreams, how to apply this at the time of death, and also for when we are facing death, when in those last moments when this external world of ours disappears, our eyes roll back. And pith instructions to help us with this also. Pith instructions that will help us to realize the Dhammakaya in the Bardos. All of these teachings I have provided. So if you want to attain liberation, if you want to attain enlightenment, then listen to all of these instructions. When you listen to them, first what you do is you let your body, speech and mind settle down, be in a clear or clean environment, and listen to these instructions with one's mind unmoving. So it's best that maybe we listen in a place which is very quiet, maybe on a balcony, or we are sitting in our altar room, if we have one. And then listen to these pith instructions of the great perfection. And then whenever we have some kind of understanding or experience, then immediately settle down and meditate for a few minutes and then continue to listen again. And check for yourself that the way it is being taught and your actual experience of realizing the true nature of the mind is the same. Observe this and then pray to the Vajra Guru. And apart from the guidance of our Vajra Guru, what other guidance do we have that will enable us to attain enlightenment? From Sakyamuni Buddha to Padmasambhava, on all the lineage masters, there has not been one of them that have attained enlightenment without the instruction and guidance of their Vajra Guru. Who has the state of realization that they just recite a few mantras or they do one practice of poa and all of a sudden they are in the enlightened state of mind? Who has this ability? And a method like this might be a little bit dangerous. So since Buddha, 2,500 or 2,600 years ago, until now, all of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and then for all of those that are attaining realization now, and for those in the future, will all only attain enlightenment through the guidance of the Gurus, with instructions, blessings, empowerments, and then step by step, gradually transforming these confused minds so that they become pure and recognize the true nature of mind, our inherent state of mind, and so that all sentient beings may be transformed, just like in the King of Aspiration prayers of Samantabhadra, that they all attain Buddhahood. As Samantabhadra said, that through my guidance and my pith instructions, that we may be able to transform all sentient beings, transform their minds so that all of their minds may abide in the pure luminous state of the Dhammakaya, that they may all attain enlightenment. This is the aspiration of Samantabhadra. And within the great perfection, although there are the step-by-step procedures, our eventual realization of enlightenment and liberation will depend on the pith instructions of our Guru, that we ourselves must recognize our inherent state of mind. And this is the most important point of us being able to attain enlightenment. That is why we pray to our root Guru, that the root Guru's compassion, their courage, their truth, their merit, and that all of the blessing of all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and their pure lineage may all be absorbed into our mind stream when we pray to our root Guru. And then when the Guru enters into our mind stream, we receive all of the merit, all of the compassion, all the truth and the courage of the Guru, and wisdom at the same time enters into our mind stream. Every day, every time that we meditate, we must visualize like this and practice. And this is very, very important. It's not just like reciting some prayer. When we're reciting a prayer, this is not our merit. It's not our realization. This is somebody else's. They wrote it. Our realizations, our merit, comes through practice. And through these methods, practice them and really cherish every single day that we have this precious human life. Just think about it. Countless lifetimes we've been revolving around in samsara, and now we've had the very fortunate merit to have this human life and to end up on the earth. And over and above this, it is a time that the teachings of Buddha are here. Not only that, there are these pure lineages, and also right now there are these enlightened teachers that are teaching the great perfection, and the great perfection exists. Really, this is an incredible time, so fortunate. And this is really such an incredibly rare opportunity that this may arise. Really, if you have a person with wisdom, then you will realize that there really isn't a better opportunity if you are wishing to attain liberation or enlightenment. This is the most perfect time for us to be able to free ourselves from the cycle of samsara. However, if you don't cherish this and you don't practice, even if the Guru is teaching and the Buddha is benefiting sentient beings, we will just continue revolving around in samsara. Countless Buddhas and countless Bodhisattvas have come to this world to benefit sentient beings. And those students that already had arising causes with them have already attained liberation or enlightened. And even although there have been so many Buddhas before, they haven't been able to liberate us, these sentient beings that are so difficult to transform. Why do we say they are so difficult to transform? It's because they do meet up with the Dharma. However, they are not willing to practice. They don't listen. They don't continue. And they're not diligent. And so it's not that they don't understand. It's not that they're not interested. It's just that they are difficult to transform. It is that they are lazy. They meet up, they encounter these great perfection, blessings, empowerments, teachings. However, they don't practice. And apart from their existence, their life, they think nothing else is really important. And so this is what we mean by very difficult to transform sentient beings. And for maybe 20 years, the Guru has been conscientiously teaching, guiding them, accompanying them, However, these students still continue developing their existence in samsara. They don't transform. So to what extent of ignorance is this? We already received these instructions, these teachings of the great perfection. We have the step-by-step practices and teachings. And we have the suitable conditions to be able to practice. And this incredible compassion and wisdom and patience of the guru. And just think about the students and how difficult they are to transform, not willing to practice. And then not only that, over and above this, they are selfish, arrogant, jealous, and have this very stubborn or very strong character. No matter how much we try to accommodate them, not able to accommodate them. Not able to transform them through great compassion. No matter how much we encourage them, we're not able to help them. Even though the guru has received the student, accompanied them, guided them, taught them for 20 years, still not able to transform. And so really we see through this that one of the most difficult things is to follow the path to great perfection, liberation. And these types of students, when they meet with some kind of difficulty, suffering, then they really want to attain liberation. However, when things are okay, all they are concerned about is their existence, having a good time, enjoying themselves, and being happy. And so then they've completely lost the teachings or the reasonings or the methods to be able to attain enlightenment. They think today to go and have a good time, to go and have something to eat, to meet some friends, this is what is most meaningful for today. Just think about it. How many years have you been doing this for? 20, 30, 40, 50 years? And at the end of the day, what is the final result? You just become older. Always worrying about, will I have enough money? You know, you can earn more money. And to be able to live longer, why don't you do this? Students, don't get lost and confused. Wake up, wake up. If we don't wake up, what's going to happen? Even although we have met with such a great opportunity. For most of the students, they are practicing. They are going to retreat. They're transforming. And I'm very happy and really praise everybody. And for you, I really don't have to say much more. However, there are a few of those students that are very lazy. And I really hope that everybody can bring all of their energy together and concentrate it in practice and to be able to attain liberation and enlightenment. Because if we don't master this in this lifetime, then what opportunities will we have in the future? We engage in these meritorious activities, and this we need. This is important. However, remember, this only generates the merit of attaining precious human life. Really, what is most important is that we study, reflect, and contemplate, and accumulate, grow in those aspects that will help us to attain enlightenment. The materials that will help us attain enlightenment. The materials to attain being a bodhisattva. And so from the smaller preliminary practices all the way to the different levels of the bodhisattvas to attaining perfect enlightenment, to be able to attain this all depends on what? On our study, contemplation, and practice. First we must study, and then we must contemplate and realize it through practice. I've said before that we shouldn't just stop at the stage of study. Once we've studied, we must go and find a Vajra Guru that can enable us, guide us, that can provide the pith instructions, the long sol and long chin pith instructions, and that we may be able to receive all of them. And then after that, take oneself to retreat, go to the mountains and go into retreat. And we really can go and retreat on any mountain. Then after we've received the trectral pith instructions, we go and receive the toggle pith instructions. And then you can go to the mountains and really go into practice anywhere. You've got the methods. And if you've attained the right state of realization, then it doesn't matter where you go. You are able to attain liberation. You're able to attain enlightenment. The critical question is whether we have mastered the requesting and receiving and knowing how to practice the fit instructions and really understand the importance of attaining liberation. How much time have we spent practicing, reciting mantras? However, do we have a state of mind where we feel satisfied and a state of realization, a state of mind that is reliable? And the guru has confirmed your state of mind and the student understands. And in this way, if we practice in this way, definitely we will be able to attain Buddhahood. Then after receiving the guidance of the Vajra Guru, then our mind will have attained a good state of realization. And the other day, I was transmitting the one-by-one pith instructions with the students, and this is very important. I'm going to give you one pith instruction, and this pith instruction is more important than your own life. When we are meditating, our true nature of mind, the true nature of mind has nothing to stick to. The true nature of mind has nothing to attach to. The true nature of mind has nothing to grasp onto. When we are abiding in the true nature of mind, there is nothing to attach to. However, apart from the true nature of mind, ignorance has its ignorance to attach to. A liar has some a liar to attach to. A liar consciousness has clarity to attach to. Ignorance to attach to. Equanimity to attach to. Apart from the Dhammakaya, the true nature of mind, the Dhammadhatu, all meditations have something that they attach to. Meditation with reference point has something to attach to. Meditation without reference point has something to attach to. Remember, in the realization of the true nature of mind, in Dhammadhatu, there is nothing to attach to. In the inseparability of wisdom, emptiness, and appearance, the mind and appearances in the moment are in unity. Don't even think that there's something to attach to. There's not even the concept of something to attach to. Remember, when you are meditating and abiding in the true nature of mind, this is the best state to be meditating in. This blessing, compassion, guidance, wisdom, from taking refuge, making incense offerings to the Buddhas, all the foundation practices, all the way to enlightenment, come from our Vajra Guru. And all the merits that help us to attain enlightenment comes from our compassionate, benevolent Guru. And that is why, because of our Vajra Guru, that we have some experience and realizations and transformations today. Now, Vajra Guru has never abandoned these so difficult to transform ignorant students and sentient beings. And this is the greatest clairvoyance of the Guru. The essence of the three roots. This is the great patience and compassion of the Vajra Guru, who accommodates us all, and in equanimity. And the only beings that are able to do this are the Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas and the Vajra Gurus. And this we ourselves right now are not able to do. However, when we have attained realization through practice, then, of course, gradually they will be just like the Vajra Guru and have vast, boundless, great compassion, and be able to receive and benefit all of these ignorant sentient beings. And so we must pray to the Guru. Pray for our Vajra Guru's compassion and guidance. And we must step by step incorporate, absorb this into our own mind stream. And then repay in this way the great kindness of our Guru. And how do we repay the kindness of our benevolent Guru? Is that apart from what we need to stay alive. Don't waste this very special, precious human life. Don't waste any of the time, any day. Don't go watching movies, playing mahjong, playing games. Go drinking tea and coffee and wasting time. Take this precious time and use it to practice. Go to work when you return home from work. Do what you do need to clean the house. And all of this doesn't need so much time. The balance of the time used to practice. If you don't practice today, you don't practice tomorrow, when are you going to practice? Will you ever start practicing? And why is that? Because all of these worldly concerns you have made more important than the time to practice. And this would really be the greatest regret. All of those things that you've accumulated, you're not going to be able to take with you. And you're not able to let go of them. You have attachment to them. When the time of death arrives, we will realize that none of these things are really ours. When the light goes out for us to be in this world, then this world has no relation to us anymore. Which family hasn't had somebody who has died in it? And if we really visualize this every day, then we will really be able to let go of all of these attachments, all of this selfishness, all of these afflictive emotions, all of these strong attachments to our family and relations, this attachment to these material concerns, this attachment to living. People go to the doctor, and the doctor say that you are going to die soon, and still they won't believe the doctor. It's close to the end of their life, and they still don't believe in death. That attachment to life. And what is this attachment for? Their status, their fame, their wealth, all of these worldly concerns, and they really aren't able to let go of their grasping to it. Even when they are facing death, they're still not able to let go of their grasping. Is this of any use? It's no use at all. However, practitioner won't have this problem. They have this ability to accommodate, and they realize that everything is delusory. Eventually, all phenomena will dissolve back into the mind, and the mind will dissolve back into emptiness. And in the state of emptiness, they attain the realization of the great perfection. However, the big question is, who is able to master this? This is very difficult to be able to say. And so everybody, from now, right now, begin. Practice well. Who knows what disasters there may be. The sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. And obstacles to practice will become more and more. From now, begin. Wake up. Don't waste the time of a single day. It might look very easy. It might sound very easy. However, these teachings are incredibly profound and must be realized through practice. And His Holiness Lama Acho Krumbushe, through very simple means and simple language, taught us the true nature of all phenomena. And he taught in this way. So it sounds very simple. However, the content of this, if we really, really practice this and realize these pith instructions, then really this Dharma, these pith instructions are more important than any other. If you are able to understand it and to be able to realize it. If all we're doing is every day we're reciting this and we're reciting that, and then all that happens is eventually we get lost even in our recitations. And then all afflictions arise. Oh, I'm not able to recite this. I'm not able to recite that. I'm not able to let go of this. This I'm not able to finish. That I'm not able to finish. And eventually, the student hasn't achieved any state of realization. And even although we are reciting these mantras, it's not certain that this is going to be the roots of positive virtue. It might be that attachment, aversion, or ignorance arise during the recitations and becomes the cause of negativity. You notice this with some of the students when you meet them. They're a little bit scattered or very coarse. They've listened very well. They understand it very well. However, they haven't realized the practice. When we see them, maybe the way they look, it looks like there's some compassion. However, within their mind, it really is not the case. We feel like they're very anxious or they're full of afflictions. Like a volcano, their mind hasn't transformed or hasn't been purified because they're not willing to practice. When we meet these people, really, we can feel that they are maybe full of arrogance, that their mind is unstable, full of anger, full of jealousy. And then all of a sudden, there's compassion. And it's difficult to say, really, whether they are practitioners or not. And then we get the students that have practiced really well, and we really can feel this. They have an energy about them. There's a kindness about them. And they're like this. When we're around them, that we can feel like we're receiving merit from them. And they like this, not just for the one day, they like this for every day. And these practitioners have unified in purity their body, speech, and mind. And really, we can feel, we can sense that they are very different to others. So everybody, practice well, meditate, and when you're in meditative concentration, practice these great perfection pith instructions. All of this is very important. And in conclusion, what we spoke about today was the importance of the 9 Buddha breaths and praying to our root guru. And absorb every single one of the pith instructions of our root guru into our mind. And reduce this attachment, aversion, and ignorance of ours. Not saying that you will absolutely have none, but definitely reduce them. Reduce the 3 poisons. And then apply these pith instructions. And we teach to hear for today. Chirvarlavan Chirvayi Stripim Solin Roa Dorvarko.